Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we have been able to raise our voices in song to you, in worship and in adoration of all that you've done in our lives. And Lord, now we pray that you would continue to be with us. And Lord, whether in person or online, I pray that your word today would touch a heart in a significant way and that they would clearly see you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hey, take a seat. And it's time for the kids to go to Kids Connection if they haven't gone there yet. So as the kids are going down, some of you will remember the Weber family that used to be part of our church a number of years ago, okay, pre-COVID. And they moved away. But Carolyn Weber wrote a book called Surprised by Oxford, and it became a bestseller, okay? And they've made a movie about her book. So on September 27th and October 1st, those two dates are showing at Silver City in Masonville Mall, at the theaters there. We already have our tickets for the matinee on October 1st. So grab your tickets and you know, bless this family that was part of our church. I don't know about you. I've never watched a movie about people that I actually know. I don't know about you. Like, that is really, really cool. Like, we know the story. We know them really well, good friends. And we get to watch, you know, this movie made about their life. So it's going to be really cool. And not only that, but I think, I could be wrong, and don't quote me on this absolutely, because I don't think we have it approved yet, but October 22nd at 4 o'clock here in the church, we're going to have a live Q&A with Kent and Carolyn. They're going to be live streamed from, you know, where they live now in the U.S., and we can all ask them questions about the movie, their life, and how it was done, and is it a go? October 22nd at 4 o'clock, okay, we just got the approval, it's a go. So that is really, really cool, okay? So we get to meet them and talk to them and go from there. So I'm really excited to be part of that. And by the way, if you're part of this church, you've probably heard the mission statement that we are a church that loves God, loves others, and wants to change the world, all right? And over the course of the summer, leadership's been gathering together saying, hey, you know, we want to give some momentum to our mission statement of loving God, loving others, and changing the world. And what we've done is we've added some components to it. So you're going to be hearing things in the next little while about Explore Life is a tagline for the church. Now, Explore Life means, right, what does it mean to explore life here at Village Green? What does it look like? And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the future. And the other thing we're going to talk about is how do we make Jesus real? How do we make Jesus real? In fact, coming, I think, near the end of October into November, last part of Life Groups, we're going to be doing a series on making Jesus real, okay? After the Awakening series, we're going to do Making Jesus Real. So I just want to kind of encourage you to be praying and thinking about some significant messages that are coming in the future. All right? Good. Well, it's Communion Sunday. And this is, you know, this is something that we do as a church once every month at the beginning, the first Sunday of every month. We gather together and do communion. Now, communion in the evangelical church is one of two ordinances that, you know, Jesus commanded for us to do. The first one's baptism. Second one is communion. Now, in some traditions, you've heard, you know, communion, Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist. Depending on the tradition, they have kind of different names for it. Other church traditions have more ordinances than the evangelical church, and that's okay. They just add a few things to the ordinances. But as evangelicals, we believe that Jesus only talked about two specific ordinances. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a data dump in the sense of what is this thing called communion? What's this thing called Lord's Supper? Okay? And for thousands of years, the church has continued this practice. This is something that was done very, very early in church. And communion uses bread and wine or juice as a symbol of the body and the blood of Jesus, okay? And did you realize that have you ever heard that in the early church, many people thought that the early church, they were cannibals. They were accused of cannibalism because they would hear people say, we are going to now eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus Christ. And they would say that. They would do that as part of the communion. People would hear that and say, oh, this new religion is cultic and is very cannibalistic. Okay, that's the way it was thought. And in fact, the early church used to have what was called the love feast, all right, where the entire community would gather together at the end of a service or whatever they would have, and they would have this huge meal, the spread, and it was called the love feast. And in fact, you can hear or see in Scripture, like in 2 Peter, Jude 12, 1 Corinthians 11, where the disciples are talking about the distortion of the love feast. In fact, I'm going to read you a passage in just a second where the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and Corinth is distorting the coming together at communion. In fact, they're distorting it so much is that they're ignoring the poor, they're getting drunk, there's implications of sexual debauchery during the meal, stuff that you just wouldn't, find acceptable in church. And that's what they're doing to communion. Okay? Now, so Paul is scolding them on the way that they're not conducting themselves in a way that's honorable during communion. So I'm going to start off with what communion doesn't do, for instance. Communion doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't save your soul or make you go to heaven, okay? In fact, God actually warns us against taking communion without considering what it really means or to mindlessly perform the ritual. In fact, I want to read a really problematic passage out of 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 31. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth about the way they're conducting communion. So here's what he says. So if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Notice that, examine yourself beforehand. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Wow. Can we just say wow? That's hard truth right there. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. This is one of those warnings that this ordinance is so important that we don't abuse it, misuse it, or do it callously. Okay? This is something that we are to take seriously. Now, there's lots of traditions, and I'm going to get theological here for a minute, but there's, as evangelicals, we say this is just a memorial. Or other traditions say this is consubstantiation versus transubstantiation. There's big theological words for you, okay? What it means is, like, for instance, the Catholic Church actually has the priest bless the bread and the cup, and they believe that it actually becomes the body and the blood of Jesus, okay? That we're actually eating and drinking the blood of Jesus. It gets transformed. Okay, that's what they believe. Now, if you take a passage like this, can I just challenge us as evangelicals to say we treat this as a simple memorial, but if we abuse it and there's judgment to come, doesn't that tell you that something significant happens when we take communion? that there's this spiritual interaction, that there's this important thing that happens in the spiritual world. When we bow our heads, we observe, you know, solemnly, and we say, Jesus, I believe in you. And I believe this is your body. I believe this is your blood. Okay? So, the only requirement, we talk about open communion here at Village Green, which means as long as you say that I am a follower of Jesus Christ, that I've come to believe in Jesus, I come to believe in what he has done for me, and I have been forgiven of my sins, that all the requirement that we have in this church for you to take communion, and that's what's called an open communion. Some churches have a closed communion where you have to be part of the members. You have to be part of the membership to actually take communion. We don't hold that here as a biblical mandate, okay? Now, I know we have a lot of visitors here today, okay? And I apologize for the deep dive into a very theological topic, okay? But I just felt compelled that this is something that we understand and understand better going into the new year, all right? So, here are three aspects of communion I just want to go through really quickly. Number one, communion is a reflection. We reflect on what Christ has done for us and in us. Okay, so this is a past action. Matthew 26:26 says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Take the note as of the early phrase in that passage. It says, as they were eating. Here is Jesus with his disciples celebrating the Passover meal, which is a long-standing meal in the Jewish tradition. And the Passover was celebrated for the people to be reminded of God bringing them out of bondage in Egypt into the promised land, okay? And the miracles that God performed in order to take them out of, you know, that bondage in Egypt, okay? So it's got a long history. In fact, I could, for the next half hour, unpack all of Passover, and I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm just not. It's, and you know, one thing I want, do want to say is Passover was created to be an immersive experience, emotionally, physically, spiritually. They had to eat bitter herbs. They drank from different cups that represented different aspects of the story. They had children that were asking distinct questions. They would hide what is called the aphikomen for the children to find. There was a hand-washing ritual as part of Passover. In fact, in John, you get Jesus washing the feet. Many scholars believe that's the point where the Passover meal, they would have washed hands together, but Jesus took it upon himself to change that and do it very differently with the feet washing. So here is the Passover meal that celebrated on a continual basis. What it introduced was the whole sacrificial system for the Jewish people as well, okay? But Jesus takes it that particular evening, that Passover meal, and transforms it to his own body and his own blood as a past remembrance for us, reflecting on what Jesus did for us, that he willingly went to the cross, placed himself upon it, allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed in order that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could be new creations, that we could be redeemed, that we could have a whole relationship with God. And in Hebrews, there's a phrase that is consistently repeated, and that what Jesus did is a once-for-all sacrifice. So as we reflect on communion and what it means, it's a once-for-all sacrifice as we reflect and look back. And in fact, Jesus even alludes to something called the New Covenant. It's in Jeremiah, it's in Ezekiel. Moses alluded to it. This new covenant that would restore the fellowship between God and people who place faith in Christ. And it's this beautiful promise that is part of the past component of when we take communion. Secondly, communion is a recognition. We recognize the active presence of Christ in our lives, this active presence. And this is the present aspect of communion. This is what the Apostle Paul says about our present reality for those of us who place faith in Christ. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Okay? Communion celebrates the gospel. Jesus was broken for us so that we could be fixed by him, redeemed by him. Celebrating communion marks the story of Jesus, how he gave himself completely for us that we could have a better life, a new start, and a fresh relationship with God. That comes out of 1 Peter 3:18. It is not about a ritual to revere, but a person to worship. And we presently, as we celebrate communion, have the Holy Spirit given to us, the Parakletos, that is part of the gift of what it means to be a believer. That we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to remind us, to empower us, to make us whole as Jesus intended. This is really powerful reminders, okay? Number three, communion is a reassurance. We have the assurance of Christ's return and the eternal promises that come with it. This is the future aspect, okay? So communion has a past, present, and a future aspect to it. Look at what the Apostle Paul, writing further in 1 Corinthians 11, look what he says. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death. And look at this last phrase, until he comes again. Notice the phrase. Communion is not this static ritual. That when we partake of it every month, we are reminded that this isn't just an endless static ritual, that we are confirming the eternal promises and the eternal hope that's given to us by participating in communion. It's not a past reflection, it's not a present reality, but there's a future hope to it that is part of what we celebrate when we celebrate communion. We live as citizens of an ever-present kingdom that's going to be fully materialized in the future. In fact, we're doing the Book of Revelation in January, 10-part series on Book of Revelation, and we're going to hear about the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is this ultimate expression of the entire community of faith that gathers together in this grand banquet where we get to celebrate the goodness of God, and every one of us celebrate the redemption that is ours because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So, it is communion. If you have your communion cup, I'm going to transition. But before I do that, I want us to take a moment of silent reflection. And I want to challenge you this morning that if you have never placed faith in Jesus Christ, what amazing opportunity would be for you to take your very first communion as a brand new believer in Jesus. So can we just take a moment for silent reflection as we have learned from these passages? And I will pray at the end of that silent reflection. Lord, I pray that even now you're speaking to hearts. We thank you for this ordinance, this outward sign, the sacrament of an invisible grace and inward grace. We thank you for your body and your blood. What a difference it has made for those of us who have placed faith in you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin, the redemption that is ours, and the newness of life that we can enjoy every time we do this ordinance. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus with his disciples took the bread, broke it and shared it with his disciples, and he said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup. And as I've said many times before, it's the third cup in the Passover meal, which was known as the cup of redemption, which is really significant that Jesus highlighted that cup. And he took that cup and he said, "This is my blood, the sign of the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me." Lord, as we've participated in communion, I pray that we would have a newfound appreciation for the sacred act. So, Lord, I just thank you that we've been able to learn more about it this morning as we begin a new season of ministry. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, it is, we've talked about September a new, technically in church world, this is a new season of ministry. It's, you know, we know school has started and all that kind of stuff. But what I want to do now is I want to invite the members of the board of directors and the members of the elders board to come up front here, please. If I could have the elders on this side, and if I could have the board of directors on this side, okay? Am I okay up here to, like, and I'm going to kind of put my hand over everybody's head or something here, okay? Are you okay?
You're okay anyway.
All right, okay. I'm okay anywhere. I'm going to take that as a compliment. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Right? All right, I'm going to start over here with the elders board. All right. Do we have everybody? Yeah, we do. Jennifer's not here, yeah. Jennifer Charlton, who has been an elder for at least 6 years, yeah? Yeah, has done her term, so she has stepped down, okay? So we have Brent Paul here and Ernest Yanful, who are two of our elder emerituses, okay? Amen? Yeah, they've been elders for quite some time, okay? And we have Dale Magnus and Kathleen Hill, who are part of our present board. But we have two new arrivals this year. Two new arrivals. We have Paulette Scheistel and Ralph Allen as two of our new elders. This board meets virtually every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. Oh. You always know the new ones, right? What time did you? Yeah. And you need to know that as a elders board, we are praying for each and every one of you and this church and the vision and all of those things. And we have a, you know, spiritual oversight that this board takes very seriously. All right, so we're praying for you And you just know that we're doing this on a weekly basis, okay? And this is our board of directors, which in a technical sense, they're responsible for the fiduciary oversight of this church. You know, the finances, you know, the day-to-day, right? I said that quite well. Anyway, all right. Now, I want to say thank you to the two board of directors who have done their term and have stepped down because they're finished their term. That's Krista Allen and Ashley Zietzma. They were the two that were done. Thank you, Ashley, for your, you know, and Krista, yeah. All right. So, yeah, Krista. Yeah. You know, this board meets every month, okay, and goes over a lot of the, you know, administrative fiduciary responsibilities of the church, all right? So be praying for this board, all right? Now, we have a member who wasn't able to be here today, Dave Heckman, wasn't able to be here today, but we want to acknowledge Dave and Al Vanderland. Oh, yeah, Al had to be away because somebody's being baptized, which is really important to be at, yeah, okay? But present board members, we have Brenda Brown, and Jared Curtis. And Jared, by the way, is the chair of this board. A lot of weight on this man's shoulders, okay? And the two newcomers to the board this year is Al Scott and Don Shirley, okay? We wanted to introduce these people to you. I'm going to take a moment and just pray and bless this, you know, these two boards. And we meet, the elders are invited to sit in on board meetings once a month. We don't have voting rights by any means, but there is a lot of great discussion, and know that these two boards work really, really well together. It's unbelievable how well these two boards work together and pray together and oversee the important aspects of this church. So we're really blessed here at Village Green to have two boards that work together so well, okay? So let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our opportunity to begin this year with new board members and established board members who know the needs of the church, are praying on a consistent basis. And Lord, we pray that as these two boards meet, that we would continue to see your heart, that we would continue to be unified as one, that we would listen to your spirit and be sensitive to the leading and the guidance of your spirit, that we would see our responsibilities as being exactly that, deep responsibilities held under your authority in order to help guide and direct the church and the affairs of the church. Lord, I want to thank you for the people who make up these boards and just what a blessing they are to work together with them for the furtherance of your kingdom here at Village Green Community Church. So Lord, I pray that you would bless our year together as we meet and pray, strategize, and understand your will. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you've given us of people who are committed to the church in such a way that we build the church up, not destroy it. So Lord, thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Great, thank you very much, everyone. Okay, we could have the worship team come and to close us in one final song. That would be awesome. Oh, the offering? Oh, did I? Oh, wow. I just did a whole thing on communion. I totally forgot to tell you about the benevolent offering that we give during communion. So we do a benevolent offer during communion, which helps many people in our community. It's a really important part of what we do here at Village Green. So there is going to be a plate going around for that benevolent offering if you're able to do so. And thank you for being here. God bless you.